Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. And this is episode 125, which is the listener appreciation episode. I appreciate everybody who has sent in their emails for the Stand Up and Be Counted campaign. I heard from 60-plus listeners, which was pretty much overwhelmed me because I didn't really have any kind of system set up to keep track of everybody. So I used a notebook and just wrote down people's names and where they're from. And sometimes if I remembered a little thing about them, I would put that in the margin. Now, I hope I didn't repeat anybody. Sometimes that does happen, and I could have left somebody out. Hopefully, I won't do that. It's really listeners like you who download the show and encourage, sending in emails from time to time that encourage me to keep the show going as a way to kind of audio or verbally document some of my running experiences and share those with others. And as a result of that, I get to hear about the experiences of lots of other people. And I learn a lot about distance running from others because there's people all over the world that have very similar experiences, and we can always learn something from each other because the internet really does make the world a much smaller place when you can communicate instantly by email. Without further ado, let's get started on the listener roll call, and my thanks again to everybody who took the time to send in the email. David from Mechanicsville, he volunteers at Ash Cake Rescue. And I first met David when I did my first half marathon training program some years back. And we were just a few of us from Hanover County that were traveling all the way out to the West End of Henrico to the John Rolfe YMCA to do this training program. And he recently ran the Ocean Drive Marathon and sent me a lengthy report, which I'm going to save for another episode because I wanted to do the listener roll call. So, David, I appreciate that. And actually, David also offered the use of his golf cart for the Ashland Railroad run. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to use it just because of logistics with closing the roads and too many rules, not with using the golf cart, just with having the roads closed. Some roads are going to be partially closed, and I wanted to be able to access the whole race course. But anyway, David, appreciate that, and thanks for checking in. Dr. Smitty out of Chesapeake, he's got a great blog. It's drsmitty.com, Thoughts on the Run. And you have to check out that blog because he's got a very honest assessment of a did-not-finish situation he had in the HAT 50K here recently. Dr. Smitty and I have become personal friends. He's been up to several races in the Ashland area, and I've been down to his area of Virginia to run the Shamrock Marathon, the Seashore Nature Trail 50K, and, hooked up with him at those races. And just shared our interest in running and, talk and drink beers and whatnot after the races. Actually got to the point where last summer I actually went up and met with him up at Lake Anna where he had his boat. And our two families got to know each other and we had a real good time out on his boat. And, gosh, that's all from the podcast. So, anyway, it's always good to know somebody with a boat. I used to have one some years ago. And had a lot of good times on that thing, but it became a chore because it started malfunctioning. And if anybody's ever owned a boat, then they know. But anyway, Dr. Smitty, it's been a pleasure knowing you, and I look forward to seeing you up at the railroad run. Hopefully you'll place in your age group again. Heard from Dylan at Stuart, Florida. Jeff, St. Louis, Missouri. And, of course, Sandy out of Michigan. Sandy, always good to hear from you. Hopefully your training's going well. She is training for a 100-miler. And I know she's going to do real well with that. I'm really interested to know how things go once you start getting past, for your training runs, once you start getting, past 30 and 40 miles. I don't even know when you train for 100 how long some of those training runs go. I guess they kind of get to the point where it's more for time. But anyway, it'd be good to hear from you again. And of course, Mandy out of Florida at the Mortals UltrasForMortals.com website, where she's got lots of information about ultramarathons for regular people like me and probably you. And we're going to be doing part two of the Florida Keys 100 podcast, which is going to be information about that race. I'm going to be doing the 50 mile option of that in May, and we did part one. I can't remember what episode it was, but Mandy was great with that, and we're going to do a part two, and I think I'm going to have my friend Rodney on the show for that one. So, Mandy, we're looking forward to it. We'll be recording that one here in the next couple days. Heard from Jimmy out of Wildy, Kentucky. Steve, Monroe, North Carolina, which is near Charlotte. And, of course, Alan at State College, Pennsylvania. Alan's got his own podcast at Running with the Pack. Just search for that. It's a very good podcast. It includes stuff about triathlons and other things involving fitness. It's not just about marathoning. He's got a great co-host named Stevie, and if you listen to that show, it was a real special treat. Last episode or so with his former co-host Jeff. These are academics, the guys that teach up at at State College, Pennsylvania. I'm at a loss for which university that is. I know it's the big one up there. But anyway, he's got a great podcast. Check that out. Heard from Daniel, Lexington, Virginia. Dave out of Greenville, South Carolina. Richard out of the Woodlands, Texas, who is one of my original listeners. And I've got several of those. For some people, I've made a notation. Others that I've forgotten. Richard has been listening from the very beginning. He's a big Hawaii 5-0 fan, the original one. We've had some discussions about that. And what I used to do when in the early days of the podcast, when I only had a couple emails each week, always hearing from Richard because he was a regular listener, I would go into the Hawaii 5-0 music in the background. Sorry, Richard, I haven't done that in a while. I guess I could have queued it up here. Maybe I will here, queue it up right here. Let's see if we can get at least the intro here. That's pretty cool. All right, Richard, appreciate hearing from you. Joseph, Syracuse, New York, thanks for checking in. Ken, out of Raleigh, North Carolina, appreciate hearing from you. Good friend Christina, out of Chandler, Arizona, she's got her own running blog at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. And Christina and I came very close to actually meeting in person late last year. Late last summer, but my regular life kind of got in the way. My daughter was in a theater production over the summer, and we were just kind of going in too many different directions. And she was, Christina was in, had a business trip up in the Northern Virginia area and was going to make the trip down to Ashland, which is just a couple hours down. But we just couldn't get it worked out, so maybe we'll cross paths again. But check out her blog at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. I heard from Natalia out of Iowa, and Chris out of Georgia, and he's got a good blog at Running After Daylight. I think it's .blogspot.com. He keeps updated very frequently, and he's also left several comments on the Podbean, ashlanddave.podbean.com site. Chris, appreciate you doing that. He's a regular listener to the show, and he's got a lot of good stuff on his blog. He apparently ran the 50K down at Pine Mountain, Georgia, which was the Atlanta version of the North Face race that a couple of us traveled down to support our friend Rodney here in town. And probably, you know, could have even seen Chris down there, didn't even know that he was a listener to the show. And Chris had asked if we were going to be coming back down there this year for that. Not sure of that, Chris. Matter of fact, I could probably say it's probably not going to happen. Some of us are looking at a race in September up in Pennsylvania. I don't know if that'll happen or not. My friend Rodney, we've kind of had an interest a little bit in trying 100K. I'm not sure if I'll be up for that because I'd have to train over the summer. But if anybody from around here goes up there, including our friend Tom, we'd probably go up there to support him. So I don't think we'll be making it back down to Pine Mountain. And that, you know, Rodney just cleared it by a few minutes, the finishing time, and I don't think he would come back down there and do that one. But I do appreciate the comment, and I'd surely like to shake your hand before the race starts if we ever made it back down there. Heard from Kenny out of West Virginia. He's also known as Slug, and he's got a cool running blog at thankgodicanrun. I think it's all .blogspot.com. If you search Thank God I Can Run, you can check that out and learn more about Slug. And he was up at the Hatfield McCoy Marathon last year when I rode up there right after I got hurt, and I still went up there with some of my friends who were doing the marathon one day and then driving farther that night to run an ultra, which was absolutely crazy, but it was fun to be on the road trip. I think Kenny was down there for the Hatfield McCoy, which is a, if you've never heard of that, it's a race that goes through West Virginia and Kentucky, and you can use that for either state if you're a 50-stater. Just you can't use both states in the same race, but it's pretty cool, and it's a very homegrown local race. And the joke was last year is that they were going green for that race, so they got green T-shirts. I mean, so that gives you an idea of their perspective on it. Of course, you can go up and talk to the race director. He'll sit around and chat with you for a while. It was a real good time. Heard from Bert out of South Carolina, and he's got a blog at cbertrun.blogspot.com. Thanks for checking in, Bert. Heard from another David out of Mechanicsville. Heard from Tim, whose hometown, I don't know where he lives now, but his hometown used to be South Carolina, so thanks, Tim. Heard from Keith out of Henrico, Virginia, and he shares my interest in the history podcasts. I don't know, for the stuff I listen to, it's not all just running podcasts. I like to, you know, learn about history, especially Civil War stuff. There's lots of podcasts out there about that as well. So, Keith, good to hear from you. Heard from John. John used to live in Petersburg, Virginia, so whenever I mention some of the stuff in the Richmond area, he's a little bit familiar with that. He's got a blog at, stlrunner.blogspot.com, and that's probably, maybe STL stands for St. Louis or something. stlrunner.blogspot.com, you can check on that. Heard from Tony out of Americus, Kansas, right in the heartland. Aaron out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Robert, Holly Springs, North Carolina. Adam out of Arizona, and I've communicated with him several times. He's got a real good sense of humor. He's got a website called The Boring Runner. I think it's boringrunner.com or something like that. You might want to check that out. That's pretty funny. That is he's a funny guy. He does a lot of traveling, so he has to do a lot of his training on the road. And I think he and I used to exchange some emails about how to keep running clothing dry when you travel a lot and you do a lot of training. Heard from Chad out of Wisconsin. Andrew out of Hong Kong, international listener. Good to hear from you. Heard from, of course, Mike Dirt Dog out of the Detroit area of Michigan. And you can check out his podcast, which is excellent. A lot of it's usually about ultra running, but he does lots of marathons too. And he's got his wife on there who's doing, she does half marathons. And Mike made a video of his 100-mile run. I think he did Burning River some years back, a couple years ago. He made a video of that, and he sent that to me, and that was really good. So check out his podcast at Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe. I heard from Craig at Rock Hill, South Carolina. Andy at Vancouver, Canada. I'm almost going to say Canada. Joe, Cartersville, Georgia. Louise out of the United Kingdom. Good to hear from you. Dale out of Washington State. And Dale was featured recently on one of Dirt Dog's podcasts. I just listened to that the other day. So, Dale, good to hear from you. And when I was listening to your podcast, talking to Mike on the podcast, I was wondering if you were the same Dale that I had listed on here on the list from Washington State, and I'm pretty sure you were. So it's good to hear from you. Heard from Tim out of Signal Mountain, Tennessee. And he's got a running website at abulerunns.com. That's A-B-U-L-E runs.com. So good to hear from you, Tim. And I heard from Ashley out of Springfield, Illinois. And she's got a blog, too, that she needs to update. So, Ashley, if you're listening, get some updates on your blog. It's ashlearnstorun.blogspot.com. And the way I heard from Ashley was some years back, I don't remember exactly what happened or how I learned about her blog, but I left a comment on there. She had some entry about running in the cold or something like that, and I just put on there that arm warmers are very effective to keeping your arms warm because you can always pull them off. And I think I listed my podcast on there. But anyway, I heard from her recently, and she checked in. So, Ashley, it was good to hear from you. So check out her blog. Page 3. Wow. Meriwether out of Ashland, Virginia, center of the universe. And Meriwether doesn't like to really check in that much by email because I see her all the time around town. But she did her second marathon at Shamrock here recently, so well done, Meriwether. Also heard from Michael somewhere in the U.S. He left a review on iTunes, and I don't check that as often as I should, but if you check, if you search for Ashland Dave on iTunes, you're going to see my podcast because it does get fed to iTunes from Podbean. And if you're getting it from iTunes and if you want to listen to older episodes, iTunes only kind of holds so many listed. So you have to go to the source, which is ashlanddave.podbean.com. And the way it works is iTunes is kind of a phone book. You don't upload anything to iTunes. They're just kind of a phone book for podcasts and music. So I don't know where they store their music, but that's the way it is for podcasts. In other words, I don't upload anything to iTunes. They're kind of a place where you can go search, and then the feed actually comes from the Podbean site because that's where I upload the data to. So, Michael, thanks for leaving that review, and several people have said some really nice things about the podcast over the years, so I'm very appreciative of that. All right, I heard from Doug, also known as Sweet Daddy D, out of Springfield, Missouri. And Doug, I tried to link to that narrated story that Bama Runner had done for you, and it said it expired, so I wasn't able to, when you first sent it to me, I wasn't able to listen to the whole thing. So I revisited it here lately when I was, had you on the list here, and I wasn't able to get to it. So send that, if you still have it up somewhere, send me either the new link or the audio file itself. It might be too big, I think, to send over email, but try that. I would like to listen to that. I appreciate you sending that in. I heard from Dane out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He lives in a suburb of Minneapolis. Good to hear from you, Dane. Heard from Mark, who's also known as Bama Runner. He's got a running blog at bamarunner.blogspot.com. Check that out. Heard from Mark, who is an Aussie living in London. Thanks, Mark. Mike out of Northern Kentucky near Cincinnati checked in. And, of course, Ashland Bob from Ashland, Virginia, Center of the Universe. He completed his second marathon here a couple weeks ago at Tobacco Road. So well done, Bob. I'm glad you still listen to the show. Also heard from Cindy, upstate New York. She's got a blog at runwithme-cindy.blogspot.com, which, Cindy, it was good to hear from you on the email. And, you need to update your blog. I think you've got an old entry on there back from, maybe it wasn't that old after all. I might be thinking about a different one. But I'm glad that you're still listening to the show. I hadn't heard from you in a while. And hopefully, I think you said you're signed up for another marathon this fall, so that's excellent. And I know it's probably been pretty hard to train up there in the winter. So it was really nice to hear from you. I mean, it really was. I heard from Peter in New Zealand, and he and I have kind of gone back and forth on emails talking about Civil War stuff. He's got an interest in the American Civil War, which I always find interesting, people that are foreigners to the U.S., people that live elsewhere, have an interest in the American Civil War. I just always think, I don't know why I think that's interesting, I just do. I guess because it would seem so foreign to other people, but it is very interesting. And the reason I'm interested in it is because where I live, right here in Ashland, there was activity during the Civil War. As a matter of fact, the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, which is the sponsor of the Ashland Railroad run that I'm involved in, was at hospital during the Civil War, and troops went right up and down these railroad tracks right here through town. So it's kind of cool. There's a lot of history around this area, and there's battlefields right here in Hanover County. That is what's really weird is when you download a podcast, and which has special effects where they might have like battle sounds and stuff, and you can listen to the podcast as you go through the battlefield, and to me it really enhances the experience. So I don't know if you've ever been to any of the battlefields over here, Peter, but it's really interesting. It's something my dad does a lot. Heard from Phil, also known as Phil Bob, from Boulder, Colorado. So thanks for checking in, Phil. Also heard from Israel. He lives in England right now, but he's lived in several places in the U.S. He's very world-traveled and accomplished. And he's got a very informative running blog website called IsraelTheRunner.com. And it's Israel, TheRunner.com, and that's his name. He races an ultra about every month, and he views himself as just a regular, ordinary person as well. But he's doing some pretty Epic stuff. And if you go on the website and check that out, it's IsraelTheRunner.com. It's pretty impressive stuff. And I'm very flattered that he listens to the podcast, because I definitely could probably learn a lot. So I'll be checking out his website myself when I have more time, and kind of go in more depth and check out some of the links on that. So thanks for checking in, Israel. It's good to hear from you. I also heard from Jim from Red Bluff, California, which is in Northern California. And, of course, Ryan, my good buddy from Team Incognito. He lives in Calgary, Ontario right now. Very involved with racing. And due to our group page that we have through Facebook, that's pretty much the extent of the stuff I do on Facebook. We have a team group page that we communicate through, and that's how I keep up with some of Ryan's stuff. He's the only guy I've known that's done a naked race. he did that in Canada. I don't think we have too many down here in the U.S. But anyway, good to hear from you, Ryan. Hope things are going well for you guys up there. We miss you down here. I heard from Shelly, and she's from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, but she works in Fairfax, Virginia, makes that ride down. And just before I was producing the show here, I got an email from her that I have to share. She had requested the blister photos, and the blister photos are always available at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That gets you in the inner circle, of course, for the podcast, and then that'll get you the blister photos if you send me a request, ashlanddave@gmail.com. They're pretty bad, and she is a medical professional, and what she told me was that had she been treating me for, if those were thermal burns, which I don't know exactly what a thermal burn is, she would have sent me to a burn center for that. And that's really got me a little bit worried, because I didn't get any medical care at first. We drove back to Hanover and went to my local hospital before I got any, well, I got medical care at the medical tent at the race. And of course they made me feel really bad. I thought I was gonna have to get some kind of skin graft from my backside. I think I've shared that before, but anyway, Shelly said that she was going to use the photos in her medical lectures on burns. So I guess they're pretty bad. Anyway, if you want to take a look at those, they're gross, but they're not going to make you vomit or anything. Send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. So thanks, Shelly. I'm glad that I can maybe help future medical students on what not to do when you run an ultramarathon. I heard from Alicia from Northern California. She lives about 35 miles east of Sacramento in a little area called Rescue. Nice to hear from you. Heard from Crash Kreider. He's one of my other Team Incognito buddies. And after the Richmond Marathon, which was episode, I had a episode called Stories from Richmond, which is episode number 112. His name is Todd. Todd said he came very close to quitting running altogether because of his disappointment in that. He didn't finish the Richmond Marathon. He stepped off the course because he wasn't going to get his Boston qualifier. And if you go to episode 112 at ashlanddave.podbean.com, he has put up a pretty honest assessment of what happened to him that day on my website in the comment feature, which is interesting. So if you heard me talk about him before, I try to cover some of his major events, at least when I hear about him. So you might know, if you know a little bit about him, you might want to check that out. That's episode 112 at ashlanddave.podbean.com. So good to hear from you, Crash, and it's been a while since I've seen you, so hopefully we'll cross paths here soon. I heard from Jim out of Nottingham, United Kingdom. Good to hear from you. Randy out of Dalton, Georgia. Thanks. And Mark out of Charlotte, and he ran the Tobacco Road Marathon recently, which I had a couple buddies down there doing that. And, of course, Shannon from Henrico, Virginia, who's also one of my Team Incognito friends. And, finally, all the local runners that support me in what I do, and I try to support them in what they do. And it's Rodney, Tom, Tamara, Brian Klein. Let's see, who else comes out with us? Tom, another guy named Tom, Meriwether. We've had a lot of fun out here running in Ashland, and we call it our Saturday obligations. There's always somebody out there starting at the trains. We have a little historical train station in the middle of town, and that's where we meet because it's got a clock right there, and that's the clock that we go by. If you're 5 minutes late, we start without you. So that's the listener roll call. I'm just so flattered. So many people checked in on the campaign. It's been a lot of fun trying to keep up with all the emails and putting them in different folders to make sure I don't forget people. And I always do appreciate the comments that when people write into the show, just to let me know what they think. That encourages me. Of course, it strokes my ego as well, which I'd be a fool to say that it doesn't. And I don't like the negative stuff, so don't send in negative comments. Just send in the positive stuff. All right, I've got a couple other things I'm going to hit on here before we end the show, because I've still got probably another good 20 minutes. So I wanted to do a race director's update, and I'm the co-race director for the Ashland Railroad Run, which is a 10K. I've mentioned it before. You can go to hanoverarts.org, HANOVERARTS.org, to check on that if you're interested. We put the course maps on the website, and what we're doing is daily I check raceit.com because that's how we're doing our registration online, to see how many people have registered, and we're still under 200 as the time of this podcast I'm putting out. Now, we just had in the Richmond area, we just had the Monument Avenue 10K, which is I think the third or fourth largest 10K race in the country, and we're hoping to get a lot of people on that are have fitness for that to come out to our race. And we usually get between 700 and 800 participants. We have a 5K fun run and then a kids race, which is a mile. And when you add everything up, that's how you get to your between 700 and 800. So I would say we probably have around 500 solid for the 10K, which is a pretty good size race. This year we're using chip timing from Kale Running. Been pretty impressed with their interaction so far with us, signing the contract and getting prices. But there's just so much to do. The race is April 30th. The big thing that we have that's hard to do is just to get the word out. And there's different ways to do that. We have flyers. You want to get on everybody's race calendar. And one thing I found is when I started looking up different running clubs around this area, and when I say this area, Central Virginia, I even went down to the Roanoke area. You go on their running club's websites because you want to get on their calendars for their local people to see your race so they can check, click on the link and then check out your race. And some people, directors of or presidents of those running clubs, just you don't even hear back at all when you email them. I had to email a few times, and I know everybody's, busy. I know these people are all volunteers. But somehow stuff gets on the race calendar, so that was a little frustrating. And what I did is I kind of did that in two phases, and I'm pretty satisfied now that we're on a bunch of calendars, and that's okay. But I just kind of thought it would be a little easier, and that was difficult. I know next year I'll probably direct the race again with Tamara or somebody else. Well, if she doesn't want to do it, I'm pretty sure she wants to do it again. We're kind of co-race directors this year, which is relieved. Each of us have kind of been relieved of a lot of work because the other person picks it up. I'll start that process a lot earlier, but we're at a point now where we're actually checking our Marshall vests. We're doing inventory of safety pins. We just ordered the bibs. We're doing different colors for the 5K and the 10K, and the kids were using leftover bibs from last year because there should be enough for those. I guess I better check on that. We got to put a banner up in the there's a sign on the main drag in town. We got to put the banner up, and the town only allows it up for so many days. We got to schedule a marshal training session for anybody who's a new race marshal, because last year was a new course. It's a double loop course that we got a lot of positive feedback on. Of course, there's always a couple people that don't like it, but it's all in the historic part of town, which I personally think is pretty cool. And then we had everything's on Facebook these days. And like I was saying a few minutes ago, I only use Facebook for my group run stuff with my virtual team Incognito that's kind of become a little virtual, although I did run with a couple people last weekend. But we're trying to set up a page for that to link to everything under the sun, and we had some problems with that, so that's another thing. Next year we'll start a little ahead of time. We really need to get that way out in the front of everything else, and one of the problems this year with us getting some of the online stuff out early was that we didn't have the logo yet. It hadn't been developed and tweaked for the T-shirt, so that's another thing we'll have to get out in front really quick once we start conceptualizing what we're going to do is get the logo. And that's pretty much item number one. When you're doing a race, you got to get your logo out early because everything depends on the logo. All your literature, your websites, your links, everything has that logo. You got to arrange water stops. For a 10K, we're having two. We think that's sufficient. We've arranged to have somebody ride a Vespa at the beginning of the race. And last year we used one from a local car dealership down here, and they don't have it anymore. So we had to arrange to get another one, but fortunately we are. Of course, you got to rent Port-a-Johns. Everybody always complains about there not being enough Port-a-Johns. Well, guess what? Those things are pretty damn expensive. that's why there's only so many Port-a-Johns. And we're also going to arrange to do a litter pickup along the course for one part of the course that's kind of out in a rural area the week before. Did that on my own last year, and I'm going to have some people help me this year. And then, of course, you got to go and write a letter to all the residents along the course to let them know that there's a race happening. There's just tons and tons of details to take care of. You got to have a PA system. Our race start is not at the activity center. It's kind of about 100 miles to the north on Center Street along the track, so we have to actually have a separate PA system for someone to sing the national anthem, and then any pre-race announcements, because that's where everybody's going to be gathering. You got to have your food. You got to have door prizes. If you have any musical entertainment, someone's got to arrange all that. An announcer, sponsors. There's just tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff. But don't get me wrong, it's not a chore. It's been a lot of fun, and we got to get these registration numbers up, and I'm not really that worried about it yet. Part of me is a little bit. I know that people don't register for races 2 months in advance. I mean, that's thinking like a marathoner, that you register for a race. And I got to get out of that mindset, because people register for 10Ks, you know, the week before, or they show up on race day and do it, because we allow walk-up registration, even though that's going to cost us $4 per person to Kale Running, because, you know, it's all chip-timed. But we've just decided to do that because they'll have the results up right away, and everybody will get emailed their stats, and we'll be able to post the results right away, where in years past we've had manual timing at the end, and it takes a little bit longer because there's some computer work done. But we want the race to get bigger. I think we can handle some more, and so this is kind of a transition year, and I'm not going to sweat it too much if the numbers are down. I don't know. Hopefully we'll get the numbers up. We'll have to wait and see. I'm a little bit worried on that. We have a committee meeting coming up next week, which will probably be our last one, which we're just going to hit on everything and then just tell people, look, we're going to start calling you and emailing you for specific things. We have a great committee. There's no way a race director can do all this stuff on their own. You got to have people that are willing to take on stuff. Like, I've got a food chairperson. We've got someone who's doing all the marshal coordinating. And some of these people that take on these tasks who are on the committee, they're not runners themselves, so they're all board members of the Hanover Arts and Activities Center, and that's how I got involved as a leader of the race. So, you know, you have to help these people a lot, and it's great to have them, but sometimes, you know, some of the little nuances to running things, you know, we want to make sure that our runners have a good experience, and because they expect things certain ways, and so you got to have your volunteers, you know, offer the service that way, the way they expect them. So that's the race director's update, man. That's coming up really quick, and I'm really hoping that the podcast that I put out after April 30th is a positive one with my race experience as a director, and it's a great event for the town, and you just keep your fingers crossed for great weather, because that really kind of affects everything. All right, let's talk a little bit about, I am going to talk about the state of the podcast before I end the show. Which is good. The state of the podcast is good, and it will continue. I was just going to mention that at the end. I did want to talk briefly about my training. I didn't max out on my mileage yet for the 50-miler I'm doing, but I ran the most I've ever run in a week last week, which was 56.4 miles. I did 4, 10, 8, 24, and then 10.4. And the 24 and the 10.4 were back-to-back days. That was brutal. My body starts to break at that point, and I'm not I have a 60-mile week coming up, and I'm not this week. I think it's a week, 2 weeks. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do 60 because I don't want to injure myself and not be able to make the ultra. But on the flip side, running 56.4 miles for the week was a big confidence booster, especially doing the 10.4 the day after running 24. And I'm doing the run-walk intervals. I mean, that's what I'm going to do on race day. I can't run 50 miles without stopping. I mean, very few people can. And I'm an ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody, so, you know, what do you expect me to run the whole way? No way. So had a, you know, big confidence builder, a booster. And then the week after that, which was this past week, I had a significant situation at work where I was involved in a trial, so I could not run after work. I was basically on standby for different things. So it came at a perfect time. So I didn't run at all during the week, and then just did a 10-miler and an 8-miler on the weekend. And, you know, that felt good. And it was a fallback week, so it was okay to skip that weekly mileage. But I'm, you know, going back up again this week, and part of my program has me doing a 31-miler for a sole, just one run on the weekend, which will be a big practice for race day. And I think my friend Rodney's going to accompany me for that. That's the training update. Okay, well, what I want to do is talk real quick about an idea that a friend of mine named Meriwether had to get your food hot in your hotel room if you don't have a microwave. She used the iron. What she did is she has a bagel in the – I just thought this was funny. I had to put it on the podcast, and I'm sure that maybe somebody else has done it before, but I've never, ever heard anybody say, you know, talk about this. She brought a bagel in tinfoil, and she used the oven to heat it up to her satisfaction – not the oven, the iron in her hotel room to heat it up to her satisfaction so she could eat it before she went on the race. And I just thought that was a great idea, and I wanted to share that for anybody. I know that what I do is I always take a bagel before I go. I bring all my stuff in a cooler, in a small lunchbox cooler, and I eat my breakfast in the hotel room before. If I'm doing an out-of-town marathon, I'll have usually a hard-boiled egg, a banana, and a bagel. And I think I'm going to try her idea the next time because I eat it cold, and sure would be nice to eat it hot. And most hotel rooms don't have it. You know, if you're doing a budget race or a budget type of hotel, or you just really, the room is really just to get there, you know, Friday evening sleep and get up the next day and check out. You really don't need to have, you know, Hampton Inn or anything like that, unless you can afford that. I don't know where she stayed, but she used the iron, and I thought that was a great idea, so I want to pass that on. Okay, state of the podcast. The state of the podcast is really good, and the reason I bring this up is because in the last episode, I think I mentioned that I was going to say something about the state of the podcast. The podcast will continue, and I'm happy to do it. It's going to be every other week. That's the most often I can get it out. And sometimes it could be every 10 days, and at the very, it'd be a real treat to have it every week. But I can't do it that often. I've just got too much going on. You know what? I like to sit around a lot and watch TV. I mean, that's part of my lifestyle. So, you know, I don't think it's necessary to put out too many podcast shows. I want to just put it out when I've got material that I think is worthwhile for people to listen to. You know, I'm assuming, you know, after listening to all these people, it seems like a lot of listeners like the show. So I want to have something decent to put out there that's worthwhile to discuss. And if I give myself every other week, I think I can come up with enough material for a satisfactory show. The music in the podcast is done by a guy named Derek Miller, and I link on ashlanddave.podbean.com to his website, which is penmachine.com. And I'd never met Derek Miller. All his music is electronic that he makes through GarageBand, but he's a serious blogger on the internet, and he's dying of cancer. And every now and then I used to check his blog, and I started reading it a little bit more in depth, and I realized that he's terminally ill. So he's not putting out any more music, and I think what I might do is just keep that music in the podcast. I know sometimes people might change formats and shows, but I do like his music, and I know sometimes I replay it over and over. But I actually think it's pretty cool, and check out penmachine.com. You can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and just click on any of the podcasts. You'll see music by GarageBand, U.S. Marine Band, and Derek Miller's Pen Machine, and that's where the music comes from. And it's all what you call this pod-safe music. You know, you can copy it, you can use it, you're just supposed to give them credit. And then, of course, the Star-Spangled Banner is by the United States Marine Band, and then any other music on the show is generally just the stock music from the GarageBand software I have on my iBook. So the state of the podcast is good, it's healthy. I'm still interested in doing it. I'm motivated by it. After I do the 50-miler in the Florida Keys in May, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do over the summer for the podcast because I might not run as much over the summer, but I always have material, and I'll keep the show up. So anyway, I want to wish my friend Tom Grant luck at the Bull Run 50-miler on April 9th, and wish everybody who's doing a marathon this coming weekend Right now is the second week of April. And Tom, I wish I could come up there, but that's my brother's 40th birthday. And also, it's the anniversary of the signing of the Civil War surrender by Robert E. Lee at Appomattox, April 9th. It's kind of a weird thing, but Civil War buffs out there know that. All right, well, that's the podcast for this week. I wanted to thank everybody who checked in with the listener appreciation episode. Gave me lots of material. We have a lot, you know, you might have heard some people in that list that you know from or heard from on either other blogs or other podcasts. You know, the running podcast community, if you will, is an interesting one. A lot of them come and go. If you go to Nigel's site at runningpodcast.org, I think, he keeps kind of an inventory of all the podcasts that have anything to do with running. And it's unfortunate that some kind of come out and then they go. And, you know, I've never looked for fame or fortune with doing the podcast, although at some point I think I'm going to add an advertisement at the end just to maybe offset the cost of doing the show, and then maybe it'll pay for a pair of shoes each year. But I haven't really heard much back from Podbean on that. They've kind of kept quiet about that. I've inquired, and they keep saying they're working on it. And I had to change the format of the show. The, I guess, kilobits per second or whatever gets, you know, that's on a feed. I did everything they asked, and they still just kind of keep me waiting. So hopefully I'll hear something on that, and you'll know when you start hearing an ad at the end. The ad that I put on there is one that I made with my daughter for the Railroad Run. We just think that's cute. And check out the Railroad Run at HanoverArts.org. And if you're in the local area and you want to run that, please do. Well, we'd love to have you. It's a hometown race. We have great door prizes. I mean, that's what we're working on. Some of them are pretty unique. And, of course, we have a green fair with lots of different ideas on how to save the environment, if that's your cup of tea. I'm not exactly a real green person. I try to save energy. I mean, I don't leave lights on. I don't leave, you know, if I'm sitting on waiting on a train to cross, I cut my car off because all that does is waste gas. It costs $3.50. I don't really pursue everything green as much as I can. But the Green Fair always gives me ideas, and it's become a part of the Railroad Run, which I have embraced. And fortunately, we have a separate chairperson for that, because that's a lot to coordinate. All right, well, that's it for the show for this week. This is Ashland Dave, and if you want to send me an email, do that, ashlanddave@gmail.com. Running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
Ashland Railroad Run. Come race the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 30th for the 33rd annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. This race is one of Virginia's first eco-friendly races and the area's longest running 10K race. This race features a flat certified course along the tracks, which is great for setting a PR. This event also features some of the best and most unique door prizes of any race around the Richmond, Virginia area. Be sure to come to the center of the universe on April 30th and race the rail. For more information, go to HanoverArts.org or email AshlandDave@gmail.com. I ran the kids' race last year, and it was fun. Run Ashland first. See you there.
Thank you to all the listeners that make this podcast worth putting out. Thanks.